Perhaps we'll just begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we take a look into thy word, we thank thee for the Holy Spirit who wants to guide us into truth. And we're thankful for inquisitive minds, for questions about thy word, and we're thankful for answers that we can find there. And so we pray that we might not be interested in human opinion, but in hearing the very word of God. We thank thee for thinking about us and for thinking of everything and providing for us this word of God by which we may be thoroughly furnished to every good work. Help us now, we pray, in the Savior's name. The first question, which I find an interesting one, why would God want us to carry out his work when we would fail him so often? And I thought of the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yes, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Sometimes as I'm preaching, people will come to me afterwards and they'll say, well, you know, I couldn't do that. And they begin to explain, they give me the reasons why they feel disqualified for serving the Lord in a particular way. And after they've gone on for a while, I interrupt them and say, you know, you really are giving the job description. This is exactly the kind of person God wants to use. The very things that we think disqualify us from God using us are the very things that God uses. And so the Apostle Paul comes to the end of 2 Corinthians, and he says to them, you forced me to boast. Why, all the other preachers that come to town, they boast, and you think they're great, you see. And the danger is that because I don't boast, you don't take my message seriously. I don't care about you thinking highly of me. I don't think highly of me myself. But I do care very much that you listen to the message I have. And so you force me to boast. And so he goes through this long list and then comes to the end and says, I fooled you, didn't I? I'm not boasting in my strengths. I'm boasting in my weakness. I've been kicked around and beaten and floating out in the sea and in perils of my countrymen and all the rest. He said, I'm not boasting in my greatness. I'm boasting in my weakness. I have learned a great principle, that God doesn't use us where we're strong, because then we'd take the glory. He uses us where we're weak. And so that's why God uses people like us. Not because he doesn't have anything else to do. He could do it all himself. He did make the universe by himself, you know. But he started with nothing to make the universe. And so he gets all the glory for the universe. No one else can do that. And when he made the church, he started with nothing too, didn't he? The things that are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so if you feel weak and failing and without strength and not very eloquent, why, you're just the person for the job. That's exactly what God has said. I glory in my infirmity, said Paul, because that's where the power of Christ rests upon me. Where we think we're strong, well, that's where we're weak. Where we know we're weak, that's where we depend on the Lord. And that's where we discover how strong he is. So the reason God uses failing people is that he's found a way to get more glory for his son by using people like us. And the question obviously must be asked, if we fail, does that mean that God fails? Well, of course not. The scripture says, let no man take thy crown. What does that mean? That means that every crown will be handed out. There won't be any crowns left on the shelf. Someone else may get to do it. God very often bypasses some very eloquent, very gifted people because they happen to be too busy or they're distracted or they're dirty cups. I stay in some homes and they have a group of people over the evening before, and she brings out all the nice china. And when I get up the next morning, it was kind of late last night, all the china sitting in the sink, and I don't use any of it. I bypass it, and I take a plastic cup out of the kitchen to take my orange juice. And you know, many a time, there are people who have all sorts of ability, far more than we do, but they're dirty, or they're busy, occupied with their own things. They're not empty. They're not available. That's what makes a good vessel, you know, if it's clean and empty and available. A vessel is just nothing surrounded by something to hold whatever you put into the vessel in, right? That's if a vessel's full, you can't use it. It's already occupied. And so that's the picture that's given. A fountain is just nothing, but it's nothing strategically located so that the resources, the hidden resources, can come out to where people can use them. And so that's what God does. God takes up people like that. And when you look at all the great men of history, they've all had their nothing experience, whether it's Jeremiah or Isaiah or David or Moses, you name them. They all had that experience where they came to say, Lord, why ever would you use me? And God says, well, that's what qualifies you. That consciousness that there's no reason he should use me except for his grace and for his big plan to make sure that his son gets all the glory. And so he uses people who are nothing, so to speak, to bring to nothing the things that are, that the Lord Jesus might get all the glory. According as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Well, that doesn't mean that we promote failure or that we encourage sloppiness or carelessness in the service of God. It just means this, that in the end, whatever failures I might have, God actually can take those failures and turn them to his good. And that's the marvelous thing, isn't it? When we get home to heaven, we'll discover that many of the things that we thought were broken and useless were the very things that he built into the magnificent structure he calls the church.